Good day, everybody, and those who may be listening on the internet as well. Our message today is "Let the while take place," and kind of a play on words. But in seeking the Lord what to share today, I had received on Saturday a message from the Lord what to share here today. And at 1:35 p.m. yesterday, I heard these words: "It takes a while for the old man to die, but let the while take place." And so our message today is titled, "Let the While Take Place." How many of you know what the definition, Laura, of while is? What does it mean when you hear the word while? It takes a while. What do you think that the definition of while would be?
It takes time.
Keep thinking about it. A while indicates what? A portion of time. But it can be what? Kind of wide open, huh? It takes a while for the old man to die. And let's just say my journey begins here with me, August the 2nd, 1948, up to the present time. I'm 150. So it takes a while. You know, it's a journey. And it's kind of relative, isn't it? It's a portion of time. But a while can be a long while or a short while. Eddie can come up and say, "Hey, you know, when am I going to get my cupcake?" "Well, in a little while, honey." Well, she's really thinking that's going to be within a fairly short period of time. And that would be reasonable. And so, if you ask the Lord, "How much longer is this trial that I'm facing going to go on?" The Lord says it's going to take a while. Well, I didn't want to hear that. I want to hear a date, you know. Debbie, I know you're familiar with what I'm saying. It's going to take a while. And certain things take a while, but just know that if you're giving your heart to the Lord, it's going to be a while that God is doing a good work in your life, and He's not going to forsake you. He is not going to leave you. I love that. When the Lord spoke that to my heart, I just was kind of, wow, it's powerful. Sometimes words, the arrangement of words can be, the way they're arranged, can really speak volumes. And so it's just really incredibly encouraging to me. It takes a while for the old man to die, but let the while take place. And the only time that you're going to be able to take the opportunity to let the while take its place is in the moment, is in the very moment. And I want to say something to you that we've been, those of you who may be listening, and as well as those of you that are here today, we've been involved in a construction project here at this church, and with all the painters and carpenters and electrical and technical stuff going on, everybody's got a personality. I believe that most people believe they got a better way of doing something than perhaps what you're doing. I think that's very common with all of us. But the only one that really has a better way, amen, is Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one that really has a better way. But sometimes your way truly may be wiser than what somebody else is doing. I mean, in a gross example, if you got a paintbrush and you're painting that wall with a handle, I say you might want to turn it around. You might get some paint on the wall. I mean, that is a better way. Still, the one painting with a handle could take offense in that, not overcome that too readily, and think that you know it all. So, time will prove the counsel of wisdom. Amen. So, we all have, and when I was here, we worked on this project, the Spanish folks who were helping us do this, there's actually, I think, five of them and five of us from our body working here, and it was so incredibly humbling to me. The Pastor Diego would come up. I would be up here. He'd be back there working on something. And he'd come up with two or three of his guys. And he would say, "Hey, Pastor Mark," he said, "you know, we've been thinking, do you mind if we, you know, do this?" And I said, "Well, sure, that sounds great." And what he was talking about, give you a specific example, I was painting the brown up here, trimming it out.
And we liked the brown and everything. He said,
what about putting the brown back there on the sound booth, back there in the control? I said, you know what? That sounds awesome to me. Go for it. And, you know, throw some color back and forth a little bit. So I just thank God for the humility to ask, to humble her, do you think it would be okay? He was deferring to my opinion and asking me as pastor of this church. And so we're working together and for the common good, truly to improve and to glorify Jesus Christ, working with our hands, working out in our heart what our mouth says, because that's very important, what our mouth says, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So do you believe that the fruits of the Spirit of God need to be implemented when we get together to do something, such as patience? Long-suffering and temperance and meekness and kindness and all these things. I mean, if you're going to be engaged in a project and the Lord wants His church to be engaged together, you can believe that God wants you to work out what God works in you. And it's a process. It's going to take what?
A while.
Let's say it together. It's going to take
a while.
And for some of us, it's going to take longer than others. But in my case, particularly, it's taken a while to get it, what I haven't got in the past. My wife says, hallelujah to that. Praise God for that. You know, but it does, the door does swing both ways, and we are both learning, and that's a process. Well, let me give you an example of something that could happen, not that it's ever happened to you. Okay, let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about this process of doing it God's way and the old man dying. Let's just say one morning, a given occasion, I'm reading the paper, and Shirley comes up and says, well, what are you reading? And I say, oh, I'm reading something here about Smith. And she says, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that too well. Can you tell me again what you're reading? I'm just reading here about Smith Wigglesworth. And she says, excuse me, honey, but what are you reading? For the third time, I told you I'm reading the autobiography of Smith Wigglesworth. And see how the incendiary thing starts. I'm telling you for the third... I haven't told her anything yet, have I? I mean, I just kind of mumbled. You didn't think you're mumbling. You think that you said, I'm reading the autobiography of Smith Wigglesworth. He was a Christian in times past, a faithful warrior of the Lord and all. But she had no... She just asked. She just asked, was that a simple question that she had? Was anything wrong with what she said?
No.
But here's where the incendiary thing can start. And here's where you can realize the old man's still alive. For the third time. You ever done that? Mm-hmm. For the third time. And then I say what I think I said. And then I go on, I add to that. Because it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Incendiary, inflammatory remarks. And so I go on to add, I said, well, maybe you need to get your hearing tested. Maybe you have an accumulation of wax. And so, have you ever seen feathers ruffled on a chicken or how they ruffle up? And so now we're getting ruffled. And now we're going to get some inflammatory things going to where it's... She was okay. The old man was dead and she was fine. And so just asking me a simple question... I respond in a way in the flesh that can also trigger flesh in somebody else that was okay. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, if she responds with flesh, you never told me what you're reading to begin with. And so we begin to what? Crank up the volume. We got an amplifier in there that God gives us. We got an amp in there and we crank it up. I did tell you, and I told you for the third time, you weren't listening, were you? You see, but my brain thinks that I was very clear, but I wasn't. And so she's very offended now that I told her that she needs to get some wax cleaned out of her ears. So now we've got, you don't know somebody till you live with them, right? I mean, you can see me and Shirley come and go. Many people have said in the past that, you know, our family's like the Partridge family. Everything's rosy all the time. And we keep saying it's not that way all the time. Nor do we battle it out and throw chairs at each other. We don't do that. But it's a matter of the heart. You can throw chairs in your heart and not physically. You can throw a lot of things around that nobody ever sees, but it's just like killer darts. And so, would you say the old man is, if this was the case, would you say the old man is dead in me? In that particular moment. In that particular while. See, I'm to let the while, it takes a while, I'm to let that while be that moment and change and humble myself. And say something like, I'm so sorry, I probably wasn't clear when I responded to you, was I? She says, well, no, you weren't. But I also, on my part, didn't need to get ruffled just because you were ruffled. You see, if one doesn't die, the other one still has to die. Mm-hmm. You see, it takes two to tangle. So if one die, you eliminate the fight. I'm not going to go there. Oh, you're not going to go there. You're just rosy, huh? You're an angel, huh? And so, if that person wants to escalate it and think that you're rosy and that you're an angel because you're not going to go there because they want you to go there, let's do this together, you know, that can be offensive. And no matter what you say, it can be offensive. So what do you do? I want to ask you, this is a how-to type thing. How do you change what's going on? How do you make this a moment in the world that you live in? It takes a while to do this. How can you do something to make something better, especially in the Lord? You got it going. What must take place?
Well, first of all, if you do live in the flesh and make a remark about your hearing and your wax, I feel you should come back and apologize and say that you apologize for not speaking more clearly. You know, so I think an apology needs to take place. It shouldn't happen at all, but we're still flesh. So, you know, no doubt at times it's going to happen, but I think it's important to come back with an apology and say, I obviously wasn't speaking clear enough.
You know, we could... What's that?
Hand her a Q-tip.
June, you always have the most simple, brilliant solutions.
That's still in the flesh.
Now, wait. Maybe if I didn't say anything at all, if I didn't say that about her hearing, I just went to the bathroom and came back and said, excuse me, just a moment. I came back with a Q-tip. Oh.
Oh.
Ooh. I didn't say a word. And you can even say, Lord, I didn't say a word. I just handed her a Q-tip. Lord says, we know what you mean, and I know what you mean, and I know where that old heart is coming from.
I hope you're comfortable on the couch after that.
Isn't that the way it works, though? See, we can do things, get a message across and not say a word, and feel you're innocent somehow because you didn't say a word. Lord said, oh, you spoke loud and clear. But to do that, to say I'm sorry, requires what? The number one thing, you have to blank yourself. Have to, starts with an H.
Humble.
Humble yourself. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of the living God, and He will what? Lift you up in due time. If my people who are called by name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then all these things about the healing of the land and healing of your heart will take place. But humility is a pretty powerful thing, especially for the masculinity thing involved here of the man and the woman. I'm Tarzan, you're Jane. If I speak, you know, if I say jump, you say how high and all these type of things. Well, we can be very masculine as men, humble ourselves before the Lord, and love our wives as what? Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. So don't go on that masculine, you know, thing where I'm King Tut and, you know, you're my little servant or something like that. It doesn't work that way, but we're to love our wives as Christ loved His church, and the wives are to respect that, you know, headship of the man in the family as well. So it's a mutual thing. But how many of you feel and know for certain in your heart that the while is taking place in your life. That will result in hope that there's something here that God can work with. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, how many people you've hated, how many people you've murdered in your heart or said things to, or all those things and all the bad stuff that you think you've done. If there is first, 2 Corinthians 8:12, a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a man has. And if you're willing to make a baby step, even though it's a baby step, toward the Lord, He will meet you there. And it may take a while for that attitude and the character to change from the old man to the new, but it will take place because the Holy Spirit in you will see to it that He will enable you to change. What a mighty God we serve. Do you feel in your heart, do you know in your heart, you are changing as a child of God? You got to know it. I know I'm changing, and periodically I will have a hiatus or whatever, or a thought of what I think. Today I was getting ready to come down here. There were two doors removed from here. Two good solid doors, just Mickey Mouse, odd sizes, whatever. 30, small door and a big door, still not 36. I set them out here by the entry gate. Solid, they're good. And I said, they're going to be gone to my worker who was helping me here, Dig. I said, they're going to be gone by this afternoon for sure. And so they were still there. And they were there yesterday. And so I said to Shirley this morning, I said, I'm going to bring my truck down because if those two doors are there, I'm going to be wise. I'm going to bring my truck so I don't have to go home and come back with the truck and all this kind of stuff. So I'm going to drive the truck and I'm going to load those two doors up if they're still there. That's wise, right? And Shirley said, well, let's just focus of what we're doing right now. And we can just go in the car and go from there. There was a moment in the while of my walk. In that moment, it might have been the distance of a frog's hair or whatever. But in my heart, I was wanting to veto those thoughts and say, well, I'll drive the truck anyway. And with no humility or just, I'll drive the truck, you drive the car. Do you hear what I said? Do you get it? Here's a Q-tip. No, I'm not suggesting that you do that next time to somebody, hand them a Q-tip, but... So when we came down in the Honda, little Honda Civic, around the corner, I looked around the corner, and then one of the first things I was looking for was what? To see if the doors were there. And the doors were gone. So if I would have proceeded to do what I thought was better with my truck, and Shirley would get out of the car and I'd get out of the truck, she may have... perhaps wanted to hand me a Q-tip and say, who was hearing from the Lord? No, we're not saying... she wouldn't do that. But still, it wouldn't like it have been a bad thing. I'm just saying, the Lord is able to tweak out. How many of you know all these keyboards and amplifiers, they have to be tweaked? Carolyn's up here with the mic, wireless mic, and if she turns a certain way, you hear the feedback. And I saw her just... so cool and calm singing, and she was going like this, and you know, she was really handling it. Things have to be tweaked out. Sometimes we get noisy, and the Lord says, here, turn face me, and you won't hear the noise. Amen. Well, I'm going to come up here and sing with the girls, and I'm going to turn any way I want. And all of a sudden, and Carolyn says, if you just turn away from that, it's better. Yeah, but you're my sister, and I know better than you, so who are you? You see, and so we get in trouble by not listening. Wisdom listens to knowledge. I think it does. And so here we are on this earth really wanting to do it God's way and at times really messing up. Do you hate it when you mess up? I hate it when I mess up. I mean, I really want to throw something when I mess up. I want to squeeze something, a tomato or an orange or something when I mess up. I don't like messing up. And that's not going to necessarily tell the Lord how much you really messed up by doing something like that. It's just we need to cry out to Him. David said to the Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And sometimes things are overwhelming. It's just too much. We take on too much. And so if you would turn with me to relate to some of this pain that some of us go through at times, to Romans. And who wrote Romans? Our dear brother who was put in the fire and hammered out metal and shaped and forged by the Spirit of God over a period of time called a while. Paul wasn't Paul and the Lord overnight. He did have a transformation. On his way to persecute Christians, the light shone about him at broad daylight, and he had Paul, he heard the Lord say, Paul, Paul, or Saul, Saul, at that time, why are you persecuting me? And man, oh man, that man was blind for 3 days, and after 3 days he gained his sight, but you know, he was able to see in due time, to see it God's way. But evidently he had a pretty hard head, and God had to do some harsh things to him to change him, but Paul was changed. He was humble. And look what Romans 7, starting with verse 15, says. See if you can relate to this, because we need to relate to the Word of God in our life. If you don't, then it doesn't make sense. It's no good for anything. In verse 15, for that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. We just said that. I know I said something about that, but can you relate to that? Go ahead and kick the door. Go ahead and break the window. Go ahead and run your car into a telephone pole. Do all those things, but the end result will be nothing but what? The manifestation of anger. And you're going to have to repair or pay somebody else for the damage you've done in your anger. It won't do any good. And the next time that you're digging and wanting to dig something in the ground, you keep hitting something hard and you say stupid shovel, that is so stupid to say that because it's inanimate. It doesn't have a brain. It's not a person. So don't call a shovel stupid because it's not. If anybody's stupid, it's the man who made it. It won't do its job. It won't do its whatever. Stupid tire, now you're flat. I just fixed you last night. Stupid electric window in the car won't go up. Stupid, stupid, stupid. And the Lord said, man, are you stupid? You're the one that's stupid. I love it when the Lord says that to me because it's true. Inanimate things. A stupid recorder, it won't work. We got batteries in it. Now, why are you not working, stupid recorder? It has nothing to do with anything except the heart of the individual. It says in verse 16, but if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer, verse 17, am I the one doing it, but woe, sin which indwells me. Do you believe a Christian can sin? Amen. We do sin. In fact, Jesus said all men are liars. We sin, but what? It's covered by the blood of Jesus. You can't walk in perfection. No Christian that I know of walks in perfection. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of that is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we do sin, we do fall, but we're not walking as sinners, rebellious against God. We do want to change, even though it's taking a while. We want to do it God's way, but there are times when we. And we are not in Christ. We are not in Him. We are in us. And sometimes we mess things up. And that's when you need to say to the Lord, number one, I'm sorry. And sometimes, Debbie, you need to go to the individual and say, look, I'm sorry for my reaction, for my anger, for my response. I truly am. And when a person who's truly looking to the Lord hears that, they're going to be melted. They say, okay, I forgive you. In verse 18, For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. There is no good in you. Even though you may, I don't know, you may have fed 10,000 people last year or involved in 7 days a week on Meals on Wheels and whatever. I mean, you may have done all kind of good works, but there's nothing good in you. It's not going to result in your salvation by being good, or you don't need Jesus. You don't need the sacrifice that he went through for your salvation. You just go do good works and you get your applause in this world, but it won't do you any good to be saved, to be good. So there's no good in us. If there's any good, it's in Christ. Christ in me is the hope of glory. And so Christ in us is the excellence, not us. In verse 19, for the good that I wish, I do not do. But I what? What's your Bible say? I do what? Verse 19, for the good that I wish, I do not do. But I what?
Practice
the very what? Look at these strong words. He's talking about sin. He's talking about evil that I do not wish. See, God calls it the way it is. You got an evil attitude. You got an attitude that does not come from heaven. You got an attitude that comes from the God of this world. You are my child, but right now you got an attitude. Did you ever lie to somebody, your parents, after they asked you, did you do blah, blah, blah? Did you ever lie to them? How did that feel? It feels like evil. It really does. Dad told us when he gave us BB guns, do not use these BB guns to shoot things. You shouldn't shoot. And he told us what to shoot, what not to shoot. Well, somebody shot the chicken house window with a BB gun. You know how it shatters the chicken house window on the farm in Ohio. And Dad lined all those boys up. Four at that time. Dave wasn't there. Mike, Mark, Jack, and Gary lined us up and said, who shot the chicken house window? And we know who did it, but he didn't say. But I know he was feeling in his heart he was wrong, because you're going to get us all in trouble. Who shot the chicken house? I'm going to ask you again. He said, nothing. I said, I didn't do it. Tears were running out of my eyes because I just got the BB gun. Brand new BB gun. Real powerful, nice and cool. It had a scope on it. Mickey Mouse scope, Ted, but it had a scope on it, man. So Dad said, I'm going to ask you one more time. If you don't tell me who shot the chicken house windows, I am going to destroy these BB guns. No answer. Dad was an army man. He was a disciplinarian. He was a man of principle, and he would do what he said he would do. So he took both those BB guns out in that yard over the gate post and shattered them to oblivion. I didn't like my dad at that point. I had to think about that for a while. As a kid, without, you know, giving my heart to Jesus, I loved the Lord and I feared him and all that, but I had not said, Jesus, come into my life and save me and be Lord of my life. And I was around 10 there, I believe, 9 or 10. I saw, as I look at that, pure hatred in my heart for what Dad was doing, because I didn't do it. And I saw the pieces in slow motion flying, my life fleeting before my eyes, my love, my BB gun, my world, my protection, my everything. I didn't like him. I had hatred in my heart. At the same time, as I read this right now, it says, for the good, verse 19, that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not wish. In all reality, I love my dad. But he was doing something that my mind just could not comprehend. I didn't do this. Why are you punishing me? And he said, if one of you do not tell me who did this, you will all pay. The guns are going. And so, how many of you today, as an adult, in Christ, have had experiences where you're actually doing something, or you have an attitude you shouldn't have, and you know it, but you're practicing that attitude in that while of a moment. Can we relate right now that it takes a while for the old man to die? You come to Jesus, He doesn't zap you with some type of laser or buzz you and say, now you're all changed, you're a robot, now you're robotic. You don't have to worry about anything. I have changed you. You don't have to overcome. You don't have to, you love me. I make you love me. I make you walk after me. You just do this and you do that and you do this. And where's the free will exercise? Where's the real love exercise? It would never be, would it? That's why God even gave, this is awesome, He even gave the angels a free will. That's why Satan rebelled against Him. A third of the angels went with Him because they had a free will. They followed Him as He got kicked out of heaven. Even the angels have a free will. We have a free will to love God or not. And the only way to really know whether there's true love or not is to give you a free will to exercise. What do you want to do? You want to love God through Christ Jesus? You want to love the God of this world and do what you want to do? Mark has to change. I forgave my dad, yes, and I love my dad, and I could not comprehend being without my dad. At that time, I didn't know He was only going to be with me a few more years because He died when I was a junior in high school. I was just a junior and Dad passed away. I never knew Him as an adult. Quite often, I wanted to talk to Dad, but He wasn't around. And my mother lived to be many more years up until 1999. My dad died in 1966. He was 18 years older than my mother, or 16. And so, I loved Him, and I appreciated Him, but I can't go back in time to redo things over again, can we? So we do things foolishly as children. We also do things truly as adults. But as a child of God, children, God sees that. Amen. And He doesn't want to get a gigantic 4-ton fly swatter and smack us down every time you fail. Every time you sin. God doesn't do that. He wants to not take the limb that is out of joint and destroy it, but He wants to put the lame limb back in joint so it can function. How many of you appreciate that? I do. That's mercy. That's mercy. So sometimes when you find it hard to forgive someone, think about God forgiving you. He points the finger at you and say, we need to talk. I know you want to talk about them, but you and I need to talk. I think that's pretty powerful. And look at verse 20. Does Paul, do you believe Paul knows what he's talking about here? He's writing by the Spirit of God. This is written by the Spirit of God. He knows what he's talking about because God is speaking. And he says in verse 20, but if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Sin. Evil, disobedient to the Spirit of God is what it is. And so when Shirley and I, if we have a disagreement, if we're discussing, or you and I, or me working with guys, or with my guys at work, if I'm working with them and we're doing things, then I have to always have a connection to the Spirit of life, and that is the Holy Spirit through Christ. I need to be tethered to Him and not me. He needs to be my resource that I'm downloaded to, not me. Just when I find fault or ready to find fault in what somebody else is doing, the Lord will say, just wait. Just wait before you say anything. And usually when you wait before you say anything, usually you'll find out you're very glad you didn't say anything. I find, verse 21, the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. In verse 22, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? That is a great, great question. Who will set me free from this attitude? Who will set me free from what I'm feeling right now? Because it's incendiary. It is inflammable. And I want to do something about it. He's asking the question, who shall set me free from me? In this moment of my life, in this while of my life, who shall set me free? And praise God, he gives the answer. And what is the answer? Verse 25. Michelle, you have it? Verse 25, read it real loud.
Okay. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I might myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin.
He gives the answer in verse 25. Who's he thanking, Michelle? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord! Exclamation. He gives that answer. And he goes on to say what we just read. But the answer is, who shall set me free? Wretched man, that's humility. He's not saying I'm not wretched. I'm Paul. I am so brilliant. I am so smart. God is using me. He's even the one that said, I knew a man 14 years ago that was caught up to the third heaven that heard things that were not permissible to speak. I mean, that was Paul. He's talking about himself, caught up to heaven, the third heaven. He's been close to God and hear things from God and revelation from God, and yet he's called himself a wretched man. That's humility. In verse 25, he gives the answer, who shall set me free? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He wants everybody then to hear that, the Romans, the church at Rome, but he also wants us to hear it over 2,000 years later. He wants us to hear the same message. So I'm going to give you the answer through the Word of God, how to handle you in this moment of life that you have, this while that you have. It is, thanks be to the Lord God through Jesus Christ, we have hope. I need to call out to Him. If there's a disagreement with any of us, or we have board meetings and I have my opinion, they may have their opinion, we got five members on the board, so what do? We vote. And after it's 4-1, or 3-2, or the majority, it's just say you're siding with the majority and you get your vote, you do not sit there and stick your tongue out and say, see there, I got my way. This is what's going, you know, Democrats and Republicans stick their tongue out and say, see there, we got our way. Out with you. So you don't do that when you vote. You vote to seek God's will. In the Old Testament, they cast lots. And the Spirit of God was involved there, and the lot fell on, and the lot was this. But we seek God through prayer, intercession. God, what are you saying? And seeking to God for a message today. It takes a while for the old man to die. Let it begin. Let it start. It's got to start somewhere, y'all. It really is. And break it all down to the moment. Break it all down in a moment. You're outside. You love the Lord with all your heart. You're going to save some money. You're going to change the oil in your car. You get up under there. You jack it up. And all of a sudden, you take the oil filter off. And all that oil falls all over your arm and all over your hand. You weren't out of the way enough that it's all over you. I've had this literally happen. That's why I can testify to this. Oil's all over me. All over my hand. And you try to get it off. I'm talking about a Ford 550 with a canister, oil canister like this. It has a lot of oil in it. It takes over 4 gallons to fill it up, the 7.3 diesel engine with oil. And so when you take that filter off, it's heavy. It's not a little light filter. It's a big heavy filter, and you got to balance it just right when you take it off the where it's attached, that oil filter. And if you're not careful, it'll tip. You'll get oil all over you. And so it's a moment of time to say, oh, thank you, Jesus, that it didn't go in my eyes. Thank you, Lord, that I was able to get it off without going the other way. Crazy oil filter. Well, remember, it's not animate, so there's no use calling it dumb and stupid and crazy, because it didn't do that. You did. You screw it on, you screw it off. And so you see how we are. You can have an attitude. Surely may not know it. I'm outside working, mind my own business. But who does know it? Who knows what's coming out of that heart? The Lord knows that. Wretched man that I am, why did I have those thoughts? The Lord says, see, I know. I know when you change oil. I know. I know when you do what you do, wherever you go, whatever you think. Nothing is hidden from God's sight or His ears. How about that? Everything is hidden from Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, all those other world views and world philosophies. They don't know anything, but God knows it all. There is only one mediator between God and man. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius, not anybody else or the brother or sister. There is only one mediator between God and man. The man, Jesus Christ. He's the only one you got to be concerned about. And this is the one we're reading about. How to live this life today in your journey, in your walk with the Lord, is to break it all down. You ever break a dish? You ever have to clean it up? You ever break an egg? Spill all over the place. You got to, in that moment, what would Jesus do in you? Clean it up. Mm-hmm. But if it's something that's always aggravating you, and a lot of times with your mate, it's not really the issue of the egg. There's already something in your heart brewing. There's already some water boiling in there, and it's already there. And so when Shirley comes in or says this or says that about the truck this morning or whatever, I say, well, who are you to tell me what to do? I'm the pastor of the church. You're the pastor's wife. What's the big deal? I didn't go there. I'm just saying. But other things could be brewing to cause that. So that's why you got to break it down to the moment where you are. In that moment, you can change. I'm not going to say this to that individual. I want to say it, but I'm not. I'm not going to go there. And so I'm sharing with you how to do it. You just, number one, shut your mouth. Number two, ask God to calm you on the inside, which He can give you the ability to be calm on the inside. And your language will change because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We could be here, I believe, right now for another week talking about this. But I want to close, and I want to say something that Paul said. It's in your handout. That he said so profoundly, about halfway down your handout. He said, I die daily. I die daily. Can we all say that together? I die daily. And let's do a little different version this time. Let's say, I want to die daily. Okay? I want to die daily. And you're not saying that to me. It doesn't matter. You say it to me and just can be fluff. But we need to say it to the Lord. Okay? And let's tweak it out one more time. We're going to say, Lord Jesus, change my heart daily. Let's say that to the Lord. Lord Jesus, change my heart daily. And guess what? He will. You will no longer be you anymore. And people are going to look at you and say, hey, you know, you something different about you. There's something different about you. And the world will see a difference. Your mate will see a difference. Your siblings will see a difference. As we change. I wish I had, and I say this so often, the heart and the mind I have now, back then. I would go up to Dad and I said, Dad, after the BB gun thing, I would say, Dad, you know, I got tears, I really feel this pain, but I love you and I know why you're doing this, because you said, you know, if someone doesn't fess up, you're gonna do it. And you're doing what you said you're gonna do, and that's admirable. You know, that's something to be proud of. That's something that, you know, I wasn't there. I couldn't talk that way to my dad or talk that way to people in my life. I wasn't there. And so even today, I desire to be changed. I know I'm sharing with you. I'm the pastor. So, you know, you're the ones that have to change. I don't have to change. Well, you know, that's so foolish. I mean, that's garbage. If anybody has to change, it would be someone sharing the Word of God and striving to live an example, because, you know, lest yourself is a castaway by being a hypocrite. You just do what I say, don't do what I do. It's foolishness. How many of you feel a stirring that this is serious? There's a life to live. It may take a while, but you really want that while to be in place and begin in the moment right now. How many of you feel that stirring? I really do. I don't care how close you think you are with the Lord. And so the difference will be in the what? In the application. In the doing. I say this so often. You go to chemistry class, but you got to go to the lab. Because in lab, you're going to learn what the teacher was saying in a book. So you got to go to lab. Our daily life is the laboratory. It's a Christian progress. Pilgrim's progress, not digress. All you that may be listening to this message today, I hope that you got something out of it, as well as those that are here today. And I pray that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. And Acts 4:12 also tells us that there is no other name under heaven that has been given to men by which we can be saved. You can try them all. You'll see that it goes to a big old black hole, nowhere, but only Jesus is the light and the life. And in Him, we have salvation. No other name given to men by which we can be saved. His name is Jesus. Make it your business. Make it your priority to ask Jesus in your life and also ask Him to begin the process of changing you into the image of Jesus Christ. Away from the old man, into the new man. Born again is truly a powerful expression of what happens. Born again. God bless you.